Hello, beautiful people. I'm your host, Colette Correa, and I welcome you to the Mighty Warriors Podcast, a podcast dedicated to inspire and encourage you to experience a deeper intimacy with God and to be transformed by His Word in your everyday life. Today, in this episode 35, we will continue to follow Joseph's story and see how God can be with us even when we find ourselves in the most unexpected circumstances. Mighty Warriors, what a delight it is to be back. I hope you're well, as usual. I'm doing well, and I'm excited to be here. There is quite a bit to share today, and so I'm going to start right away. And so we'll continue to follow Joseph's journey, a 17-year-old young man favored by his father, hated by his jealous brothers, who could not stand the fact that their father loved him more than them. Joseph was apparently oblivious to the tension and the negative dynamic in the home, which made matters worse when he started to share some significant dreams. And in those dreams, he held a position of authority and rulership over his family. And this is what broke the camel's back. His brothers hated him all the more. One day, they plotted to kill him. His oldest brother, Reuben, however, intended to rescue him and suggested he be placed in a cistern instead. While he was absent, his other brothers sold him for 20 shekels of silver to some Ishmaelites who were headed to Egypt. Meanwhile, when Reuben returned, he panicked, and to cover up what they had done, they slaughtered a goat, smeared Joseph's robe with blood, and deceived their father into believing that Joseph was dead. Jacob was convinced that indeed he had been devoured by a ferocious animal. Devastated, Jacob became inconsolable and vowed to remain so until he joined Joseph in the grave. In a nutshell, this is where our story ended. Our foundational passage for today is going to come from Genesis chapter 39, and I'm going to read it right now. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day, he went into the house and attended to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but has screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prisoner warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those who were held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him and gave him success in whatever he did. What kind of man was Joseph? From the previous episode, we learned Joseph was a compliant, obedient son. When his father would send him to go check on his brothers and find out what they were up to, he would go and return reporting what they were doing. This might have probably irritated some of his brothers, but Joseph did what his father expected. His father Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brothers because he had been born to him in his old age. But while his father favored him, his brothers vehemently rejected him. But this 17-year-old young man was a dreamer who did not hesitate to openly share his dreams. But in return, his brothers hated him all the more, and his father did not hesitate to rebuke him when he shared his dream. In this chapter, Genesis 39, we learn a little bit more about Joseph, about his character and his relationship with God. First, we learn that Joseph is blessed and favored by God. In verse 2, it tells us that the Lord is with Joseph and that he prospered him. That's why he lived in the house with his Egyptian master. In fact, Potiphar prospered in the house and in the field because of Joseph, as we can read in verse 5. Second, we learn that Joseph is a skilled man. Everything he did was successful, as we read in verse 3. Third, Joseph was favored by his employer. When Potiphar noticed that God was blessing him, he put him in charge as being his attendant, as we read in verse 4. Fourth, Joseph is a trustworthy man. When Potiphar puts him in charge, he has no concern whatsoever. He puts him in charge of everything, as we read in verse 4 through 6. Fifth, Joseph is an attractive man. The latter part of verse 6 and verse 7 tells us that Joseph was well-built and handsome, and that after a while, Potiphar's wife took notice of him. Sixth, Joseph is a moral, God-fearing man. He refuses to sin when faced with temptation. His honoring God and his employer are much more important to him than gratifying the desires of his flesh. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 8, he responds to Potiphar's wife by saying, "With me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" In this brief interaction between Joseph and Potiphar's wife, there is much that can be learned. How should we respond in the face of temptation? Number one, know your mission. Joseph recognized that the reason he had been promoted to be Potiphar's attendant was for a specific purpose, and it was to manage his household. Everything was in his care, but his wife was off limit. And Joseph was aware of that. His focus was his work, not his wife. He was focused like an arrow aims for a bullseye. In the face of temptation, it's very important to ask ourselves the following question. Where should I be right now? Am I where I'm supposed to be? What is my purpose here? And what should I be focused on? Joseph understood all of that very well, but I'd like to share the contrasting story with King David, who had forgotten, or shall we say, had set aside his mission, and when he was faced with temptation, was unable to resist because his priorities were out of whack. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read the story of King David and Bathsheba. And in verse 1, we read that in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David saw a woman bathing and lusted after her. He inquired about her and then asked that she be brought to him. He slept with her, and it was not long before she found out that she was pregnant. When David tried to manipulate the circumstances by having her husband sleep with her and failed, he sent word to the captain of his army to put Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, in the front line for him to die in battle. And so he did. But David had to face some severe consequences. He was confronted by the Lord through a prophet that what he had done was sin, and the child that Bathsheba was carrying died. King David was supposed to have gone to war, and it was the spring, it was war season, but he chose to remain in Jerusalem, and while he was there, he was idle, and his eyes focused on the wrong thing. When you do not know your mission or abandon your post, you will easily be prone to fall into any temptation that comes your way. And this is what happened to David. Joseph, on the other hand, was focused. He knew why he was in charge and what he was supposed to keep his eyes on. So, how should we respond in the face of temptation? Number two, recognize what is right and wrong. In verse 9, we read that Joseph recognizes that if he were to sleep with her, it would be a sin. Joseph did not compromise. He called it what it is, sin, and he called it a wicked thing. Sleeping with her would go against his principle of morality. If we are to continue in our comparison of Joseph and King David in the face of temptation, King David did not pause to consider that sleeping with a married woman was adultery and a sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, King David inquired who she was, and even after he was told that she was Uriah's wife, he sent for her. How should we respond in the face of temptation? Number three, honor God by submitting to his will. Joseph considered honoring God much more important than gratifying his sexual appetite. He submitted to God, so he was able to resist temptation. A passage that comes to mind is the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, which says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Jesus' experience in the wilderness illustrates this very well. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit to fast for 40 days and 40 nights, and during that time, Satan comes and tempts him. And on three occasions, Jesus is tempted to yield to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And every single time, Jesus uses the word of God to silence Satan. He resists him with the word of God. And what does the word of God do for him? It strengthens him. It encourages him so that he is reminded of the truth that he is speaking and using to defend himself and at the same time build up his spirit. He does not bite the bait and believe Satan's lies, but he is strengthened and encouraged by the very word of God. This, again, really emphasizes for us how important it is for us to be grounded in our relationship with God and in our knowledge of the Word of God so that we can defend ourselves when we are faced with various kinds of temptation. How should we respond in the face of temptation? Number 4, we should refuse to entertain temptation. In verse 8, we are told that Joseph refused her advances. In verse 10, she presses him day after day. So this went on for a while, but Joseph continued to resist and to refuse her advances, and he made a point to avoid her. We read that in verse 10. In other words, as much as it depended on Joseph, he did all he could to not be at the wrong place at the wrong time. How should we respond in the face of temptation? Number 5, run. A day came as Joseph was attending to his duty, when none of the servants were in the house, that there were no witnesses, she took advantage of that situation and pressed him again. Joseph did not even stay to carry on a conversation or try to convince her to stop harassing him. He just ran out of the house. And that time, she took his shirt. Joseph knew his mission. He recognized right from wrong. In other words, he was aware of sin and chose to honor God by submitting to his will. He refused to entertain temptation by avoiding it at all costs. And when he was confronted, he ran. King David, on the other hand, set aside his mission. He did not consider that his sleeping with a married woman was a sin. The moment he did not even pause to consider the consequences of his action in the sight of God, he, by default, put his carnal desire ahead of God's will and fell. What about you, mighty warrior? Where are you right now? Are you where you're supposed to be? What is your purpose being there? What are you focusing on? Are you spending time in the presence of God and in His Word to be well acquainted with His will? We live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with things that gratifies our flesh, but we have to be intentional. You have to be grounded in the Word of God. To submit to God's will, refuse to entertain temptation, and find strength to flee temptation, you have to be grounded in the Word of God. There is no other way and there is no shortcut. Take time to hide the Word of God in your heart. And in time of need, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance to guide you in the path in which you should walk. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding the word of God in your heart will definitely help you and guide your every step as you seek to walk in a path that is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. When we become born-again believers, we have the great privilege of having the Holy Spirit live in us. The Spirit of God indwells us, and He never leaves us, and He's always with us. One thing we can be assured of is that as God's children, we have the favor of the Lord. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, we will desire to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight, because anyone who becomes born again is a new creation in Christ. So, as a born-again believer, when we intentionally align ourselves with God's plan, either we are in a dungeon or in a palace, He makes our ways prosperous. Because as we read in Psalms chapter 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. When God is with us, we experience success in our enterprise, even when we are in seemingly the worst of circumstances. Joseph never dreamed of becoming a slave in Egypt, but even then he thrived and was successful at everything that he put his hand to. When God is with us, we find favor in man's eyes. Doors opened for Joseph, and he not only found favor with Potiphar, but even when he was imprisoned, in the end, he found favor with the warden, who left everything in his charge. When God is with us, people around us in our sphere of influence will also be blessed through us. Potiphar was blessed in his household and in the field because of Joseph.
When God is with us, He will not abandon us. God was with Joseph, and we even saw that even when he was taken to prison, He was with him. Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 through 23 says, but while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. If there has been a time in your life when you became a born-again believer and repented of your sins and surrendered your life to Messiah Jesus, you were given the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. God has placed His Spirit in you to help you and guide you all the days of your life. God dwells within you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Precious Heavenly Father, this lesson is bringing such a beautiful ray of sunshine in our lives today. How encouraging it was to see how present you were in Joseph's life. He was unjustly hated, unjustly sold to become a slave, unjustly accused of sexual harassment. And you, God, remained with him and made him successful wherever he went. Thank you for bringing encouragement to us through your word. I am especially thinking of the listeners. I know that many are listening from around the world, and they are possibly facing difficult circumstances, just like Joseph, or maybe worse than Joseph. Heavenly Father, as they fix their eyes on you, I pray you strengthen them as they face their situation. Help them see that their suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Heavenly Father, give them assurance that you are there with them, and that you have not left them. I pray you give them favor with men and prosper them in everything they do and wherever they go. When temptation of any kind comes their way, I pray your Holy Spirit bring back to their remembrance scriptures that will give them insight to discern when to walk out and flee temptation. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. My dear friends, this is the end of the episode, but not the end of Joseph's story. So I know you are looking forward to hearing what happened next. And of course, many of you have a Bible and you've already read the story and you know what happened, but you want to hear me share and to bring a word of encouragement. And so I will say to you, take good care of yourself this week, and I will talk to you very soon again. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Bye now.